Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Loose Lips with me, Georgie Potter, and Sharon Carpenter. And we have more gossip because we're always gossiping, and we are gossipers. You're gossip queen, I'm gossip queen.
We love to gossip. I went to a comedy show.
Tell me.
I went to a comedy show. It was interesting. I went to the comedy store. I did.
Love it.
I did. And it was fun. I didn't know any of the comedians. Actually, that's not true. Leslie Jones was there. I knew her. Mm-hmm. But it was really sort of a, oh, yeah, let's take a risk. You know, let's go. I don't know these comedians, but they might be funny. And it was pretty hilarious. I mean, there were some comedians that bombed. And it just makes you realize, like, to be a comedian, like, you've got to be on a whole other level to stand out there in the spotlight with this very tough crowd, because these crowds can be extremely tough. And also depending on when you go on, right? Because I noticed that, okay, the first act was bad and then it got good. And it got really good. And then, you know, a couple of Proseccos in, it got fantastic. And then it was like we were all laughed out. So the later acts had a tough time.
Oh,
because
my God.
What could have been funny early on wasn't funny anymore. It's like you've heard so many jokes, it's going to take a lot more to make you laugh. So there were a couple of people who bombed, especially this one woman. And it also got me to thinking, right? So she was probably the most attractive comedian there.
Yeah.
And she was making certain jokes. Like she was talking about what, you know, the Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion song WAP and what that stands for.
Yeah.
But it was almost like it made people uncomfortable because this is an attractive female talking about WAP, and it's not so funny. It's kind of like a little uncomfortable.
Oh, we're
versus
all turned on.
If it was somebody else. Yeah, that's what I felt. I felt like it was maybe a little bit harder for her as a comedian because she was an attractive woman.
That is tricky, Sharon. I do
right?
I think, you know, when like bigger comedians lose weight and you think, were we laughing because you were all like taking the mick out of yourself because you know, you're self-deprecating and you're giving you, and now you can't because you're hotter than.
Now you're just a hottie and it's like.
You're not playing that role of, don't take me seriously. I'm not, like, that's tough, isn't it?
Because that's really what it's about, isn't it? The comedian has to oftentimes make fun of themselves and then they can make fun of the rest of us because they've already made fun of themselves, right?
Given,
so we're comfortable with them. If you're okay with it, okay, I'm okay with it as well. She was making fun of herself. I mean, she was going on about how she's like masturbating to these men like that were cleaning her car, but again it was a little uncomfortable
because
like a
hot.
Little
no, it's just porn. That's right. It is crazy. Do you know as well, like, it is so hard for, like, being a comedian is hard, isn't it? And you don't realize until you're put on that spot or you're telling a story and then you're like, oh no, this is not going to be funny. This is a funny story and everybody's listening and I've got everyone's attention and now we're screwed because, oh God, I'm going to flatline here, and you just want to carry it on and you go, it was funny at the time. And you're like,
and that's what happened. Because she could see that she lost the audience. You know, they're moving around in their seats, they're uncomfortable, the looks on their faces, they're looking at her with pity. I mean, I felt really, really bad for the woman. And she had the confidence she had the delivery, the jokes just didn't connect. And I think because she's a certain kind of a woman, maybe these jokes aren't right for her because, yeah, maybe she's got to come with a different type of a joke or something. It's a learning experience. I'm sure they've all bombed at the end of the day. They've all bombed at a certain period. That's part of being a comedian, isn't it? Like, that's just part of it. But I wouldn't want to be in that position because it's like, you know, now everyone's waiting to see, okay, what does she have anything else or is she done for? Like, is this it?
You know, I went with a friend once to gong night and you literally get gonged off the stage when you're bad. And my friend, and he was a comedian and he was like, I'm going to do it. And I was like, oh my God, no, they'll rip you apart. Like, they will ruin you. But he was a comedian. He got up there. He won it. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. It was so good. He was brilliant and he won everything. Everybody loved him after. Everybody was like walking around him like, oh my God, he's the funny guy. And I was like, he's the funny guy. He did really well. Yeah. It was pretty great to see, actually, especially when you're like, I know him.
That's good. That's totally opposite to what happened when I went with a friend. This wasn't a comedy show, but this was an open mic hip hop show, right? And when we were 16 years old, one of my friends decided she wanted to rap. So we helped her write this rhyme. She couldn't rap. She'd never done it before, but she was like, I want to rap. So we helped her write this rhyme. And so, you know, this is an open mic night and it's nothing but guys getting up there. Guys. So they closed. They were like, that's it. This is the last person. And my friend said, we were encouraging her, like, go up there. You do your thing. You've got this, girl. You've got this. She's like, really? You think so? We're like, yeah, you got it. So we're like, no, let the girl rap. And they're like, okay, one more person. We're going to let the girl rap. Let the girl rap. When I say it was crickets in there, I mean, it was so bad.
Oh, no.
It was so bad. The whole place was lit. She was that bad. It was so bad. And I remember this guy who I knew, he came up to me. He said, really? He said, you really let your friend get out there and do that to herself?
Oh, no.
I hung my head in shame.
What was the practicing like? Like, was she actually good? Were you all like, yeah, this is going to be great? Or was she literally just shit the whole time?
I don't know if we knew what good was. That's the thing.
Yeah, that
she remembered the words. I mean, outside of that.
And you made it up.
That was probably about it. Yeah. Well, we helped her write this rhyme. I still remember some of the words. But it was, you know, she was going out there with real rappers who actually had the skill and who were actually really passionate about it. And she's just basically regurgitating some rap that we all wrote together.
And you all.
At 16.
You all witnessed the people beforehand being incredible. Yes. And you were all still like, yeah, you can do this. Yeah.
We just had this belief in her. And I don't know why, because it's not like we'd seen evidence that she was going to just crash, you know, just kill it on stage. But we just had this belief in her. And I mean, the bad part about it was she was the last to go up. And they opened it back up. Just because it's like, we're going to let the girl rap. Okay, everyone wants the girl. And everyone's like, yeah, let the girl rap. It was a learning experience, though. Don't have that much faith in people unless you really know that they can rock the stage. But anyway, it happens to comedians all the time, right? And you just have to power through.
You do want them to do well as well, don't you? You like sat in the audience. They can see your face. You can see theirs. Yeah. You're like, come on, be good. I want to laugh my head off. Like, I want you to be great.
Exactly. We want to have a good time. And then it's sort of like, well, do I pretend the joke is funny just because she's staring right at me?
Yeah. It's tricky, isn't it?
What do you do? It's tricky. But I also wonder, you know, with good looking, because there aren't that many good looking male comedians who do stand up. Of course, actors, you know, and actresses who are kind of funny when it comes to the movies that they make. But when it comes to stand up, there aren't a lot of good looking people in that world. And I think it's because sometimes it can be tougher to laugh at the jokes.
Well, then like you just mentioned, like actors, like Ryan Reynolds is funny, isn't he?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking about. He's hilarious.
He's a funny guy and he's very good looking. And I think I can't even think of anyone else who's.
Exactly. If someone who looks like Irina Shayk, the supermodel, gets up on stage delivering jokes.
No, you're like, you can't be funny as well. You're too funny.
No,
you can't have everything.
You're too gorgeous. You can't have it all.
You know, I'm not even laughing. Even if you're funny, I'm like, nah, it's not even funny. Oh, and you're stylish. Oh, and you've got perfect. No, I'm not doing it. No.
Yeah. And you're tall. And you're rocking those heels. Yeah. Like, it's no problem whatsoever.
Did
no.
every man want you? No. Sorry. Yeah. I'm not laughing.
So, yeah, they've got their work cut out for them. Talking of beautiful, right? So Miss England, the Miss England finalist, you probably heard about this, has made history, right, going makeup free in a beauty pageant for the first time. So Melissa Ralph, and I probably totally jacked up that name, 20-year-old from London, she's breaking the mold after 94 years. As 94 years as she becomes the first contestant to compete with no makeup on. Now, she is not 94 years old. She's 20. What we mean here is in this beauty pageant for 94 years, everyone's worn makeup, right? So she advanced the Miss England finals. She'll compete there in October. She says that wearing cosmetics, mascara or lipstick for an occasion or just going out in general is an unwritten requirement for women who follow it blindly, right? She wore no makeup as she walked down the catwalk to encourage women to simply love and appreciate their features as they are, Melissa stated in an interview with the UK independent newspaper. It's crucial to me because I believe that females of all ages wear makeup out of social pressure. There is no need to wear makeup if someone is content with their skin or color. Instead, it's our shortcomings that characterize and distinguish us. She said she started wearing makeup at a young age, but never felt comfortable in her skin. Even if I'm completely hidden by cosmetics, I still have confidence in myself. I don't hesitate to share who I am because this is who I am. I wanted to represent Melissa as she is, she said. Melissa is also inspired by the outpouring of encouragement she has received from other girls and women who thank her for boosting their self-esteem. Director of Miss England, Angie Beasley, told CNN, since the majority of contestants submitted heavily manipulated photos of themselves wearing a lot of makeup, we decided to add the bare face top model round in 2019. Melissa Ralph intends to perform barefaced once more at the national final in October, according to the organizers. So did you see that? And did you see, you saw the pictures?
Well, I mean, yeah, I saw the pictures. I saw she is beautiful. She is also beautiful with no makeup on, which is another thing I think I love not wearing makeup. I love it. I love that I don't have to wash my face at the end of the day and get all the, you know, water down my elbows. I love that you don't have to pull off the glue of your mascara. I love it. I would love to not wear makeup, but I know for a fact I blush when I get embarrassed and I go full red. So I think, like, I like to hide that sometimes. Like, I don't want to keep blushing. Everyone goes, ah, you're going red. I personally as well, I know I've got like some imperfections where I think I could just cover that with concealer or, like, you know, I can make my eyes brighter. I applaud her for doing this. I think it's incredible that she's doing that. But also, she is beautiful with no makeup on. And I think sometimes people just, I love that she's trying to encourage other women, but I do love that makeup is there for enhancement and to make you feel confident that you don't have to wear no makeup. Like, I always feel like there shouldn't really be a pressure of trying not to wear makeup. Do you know what I mean? I think me personally,
you feel like that's almost more pressure than the pressure to wear makeup.
Possibly.
Like, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can have a really good day. Like, the next day after a night out, my skin is incredible and my eyes are, like, you know, green from hangover. I look great. It's the next day where I'm like, ooh, now you've dried out and you're a mess. So I do think we have our good days where we, like, go, oh my God, I could wear no makeup today. And you get through that day and you go, I've not worn makeup all day and I feel great. And then you could be on holiday and you, like, you know, all your skin is, like, nice from the sun, the sea, everything like that. And you feel good about yourself. But then you think, but now I want to wear a bit of makeup and I should feel like I can. And it's not like a pressure.
Yeah. I don't know if, I mean, she does talk about sort of women are blindly following this unwritten requirement. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, because I think women do what they feel comfortable with for the most part. Yeah, I do feel that some women probably feel the pressure to wear makeup. But I mean, sometimes, listen, I look at Instagram and everyone's like got their perfect lashes done and this and that, and the pictures just look so perfect. The hair's just done, not a hair out of place. And sometimes I'm like, am I too rugged on my Instagram? Like, do I need to be like a little more polished or something? And I'm like, no, forget that, because I kind of like the natural thing anyway. So you have to go with what makes you feel comfortable. And I will say, I do think it's brave to a great extent, because she is in this pageant, and yes, she is beautiful, but she's in this pageant where it's like, it's all about who looks perfect, the most perfect, who's the most perfect person here. And you've got all these women who, you know, it's widely agreed upon that if someone has a bit of makeup, they're going to look better, right? That's why people are putting makeup on, to look better, never to look worse. So she's going up against these women who do have full faces of makeup. Now, you know, obviously it's a great way to get attention, and it is a great statement to make. And I'm sure there are a lot of women who feel much more confident to do the same because she's done it. But yeah, you're right. It's easy to do it when you're already beautiful. And Vogue actually did a whole article about that. And they talked about, well, you know, this message isn't as empowering as some people are saying, because would it be the same story if this person had bad skin? Would it be the same story if this person was overweight? Would it be the same story, you know, if this person was older and their skin wasn't as tight, and those sorts of things? So yes. But, you know, good for her for making this statement anyway.
I applaud her. I think it's great. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I'll say, is I feel like on her Instagram, she may want to speak a little bit more to what she did in the pageant, because she's gotten so much attention from it. Because when you look at her Instagram, she does have some pictures on there, and I could be wrong, but they're makeupless, but they look like they've been filtered. They don't look like the pictures that came from the pageant. And then there are a couple of other pictures. There's not a lot on there. And she's young, and, you know, there's obviously a lot to learn when it comes to social media. But I think because there's so much talk about, oh, she went makeupless, and because she's making these strong and very powerful and inspiring statements, I think she probably wants to tweak her Instagram just a little bit, because there's some makeup stuff on there, and then there are some pictures that look like they've been filtered a little bit. But at the end of the day, she did go out there in front of the cameras, and that can be the scariest thing, because it's one thing wearing no makeup to the store. It is a whole other thing wearing no makeup in front of cameras.
But because, also, they really do pick up HD, and they pick up everything.
Movement.
But also, are we talking like makeup, no makeup look here? Is that, are we, or is
that's
it
what I'm wondering too? That's because you know,
because there is that look of no lashes, no brows, but still you got a touch of concealer,
flawless foundation, exactly.
Yeah, so really, it's like I personally wouldn't want to be on a red carpet with nothing on at all.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah, because the thing is, sometimes I'll do my own makeup, and I go very light on my makeup, very fresh. And then in pictures, it's like, whoa, it looks like I'm wearing no makeup whatsoever. So if you're really wearing no makeup, you can imagine how it's going to look. Like, the camera isn't very forgiving. And I think that you can certainly look worse on camera than you can look in real life.
And even if you're like mid blinking, or like one eye's open and the other, then they've really got you. They have got you good. Because you've got to pull a face that you know looks good with no makeup on. You've got to literally stay in that face and be like, this is my favorite face.
Exactly. It's hard. I mean, I remember at work one time, because I used to wear a lot of makeup for at this one particular network that I was working at. And I'd come into the newsroom and everything was done, right? The lashes were done and the full face of makeup, and the makeup artist was amazing. She was just so good, so talented. And I remember I came in one time and I'm just like my usual self, like I'm coming, no makeup, whatever. I actually didn't think it was a big deal. And I remember this one woman said to me, oh, she was like, oh, you look different.
I'm
how
fine.
Dare you?
Yeah. What about when people say, you look not well? Are you tired?
You're like, no, I've
just got no makeup on.
Yeah.
Like, I've just not done my face yet. That's a crazy one.
I got the best sleep of my life last night.
Yeah.
Been eating really well. And no, I just don't have any concealer under the eyes. Okay. Leave me alone.
Thought I looked good. Like, great. Thanks. Like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, yeah, I've got no makeup on.
That's the thing. It can be a stark contrast when people are very used to seeing you like full on face, full on everything. And then you come in and it, and I'm not saying you don't look as good. Not you, but one.
You
I'm not saying that person doesn't
different.
Look good. You just look different.
Different.
So there you go. But, you know, it's... I like balance of any sort. I'm all about balance at the end of the day. And I think we've gone so far in this direction of everyone feeling they've got to filter themselves. And even this woman running the pageant, right, director of Miss England, was talking about how many women are, you know, filtering and manipulating their photos, their submission photos.
Why would you do that when you turn up and you show your real face? You shouldn't.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, this is happening. Did I tell you, and this is happening with men and women, but did I tell you I was out with a friend and he was out with another friend, a guy, who said to us, oh, don't judge me, but I just arranged a date. And she's like coming over here in a few minutes. He was like, I'm on this app. I've never met her before. And he was showing us pictures and we're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, she's beautiful. Like, she's stunning, right? Now, a woman turned up who was beautiful and stunning, but it wasn't the same woman, let's just say that. Like, it was a completely different woman. And it's like, you are attractive. You are attractive. You're just not this person.
It's not the same.
Okay? Like, I might have asked that woman, hey, have you seen this woman? We're looking for her. We're searching for her. She says she's here. Can't find her. Don't do it, ladies. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
Ollie has to deal with. He goes to bed with one Georgie and wakes up with a completely different Georgie. Who are you?
The ultimate podcast for Married at First Sight fans is here. This is Recapped at First Sight.
The new podcast keeping you up to date on all the love, fallouts, drama and secrets as the Married at First Sight UK bride and grooms try to make happy couples.
And we're your happy couple right here, in a professional sense, of course. Join me, Kat Shube.
And me, former Maths UK groom Bob Voisey, every morning after you've watched the latest episode on TV.
Plus, we'll have some special guests along the way enjoying our very own wedding breakfast.
You booked the caterers, right?
About that. Recapped at First Sight. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, we're back. Okay, this is a listener letter. This is from Georgia. Hi, girls. I recently got back on the dating scene after a breakup, and I'm loving getting back into meeting new people from different walks of life. The only thing is I've just found out I'm pregnant. I don't think I want to keep it. Oh, is it right to be looking for love right now? I feel like I am ready, but it doesn't seem fair somehow, if you know what I mean. Do you think I should continue dating? I'm just not sure. Oh.
Wow. Well, congratulations, first
Congrats.
Of all. Yeah. And yes, it's a tricky situation, right? It's tricky. I don't think there's anything wrong with going out on a few dates. You're not promising these guys anything, right? You're just going out on these dates.
Yeah.
Like you're having your meal, your little craving, whatever that you might be dealing with at the time.
She just starts eating pickled jam and yeah. You're like, are you okay?
Oh, it's my favorite meal, always has been.
I think really as well, it's you've got to be honest, haven't you? I mean, unless you're gonna, if you don't want to continue with the person, I suppose you don't have to say, if you're not going to think long term.
Yeah.
If things start to get a bit serious, I think as well, like, you never know whether the other date thinks, oh, this is kind of cool, like this is a pressure off thinking you want a kid. Or there might be a lot of pressure being like,
he's already done it. You're not going to be bothering me to.
Yeah, you did it. That's fine. But then there's a lot of pressure of we're going to raise your child and stuff. So it is tricky, isn't it? But
it can be scary. I think delving into, it depends on the man. You know, some men are very open-minded. Some men get very nervous. Some men are nice, but some men get very, very nervous about that kind of thing. And it's no wonder, because then you have to worry about, okay, you're pregnant. Well, what about the father? And he's obviously going to be in the picture and he's going to be around a lot. And are you prepared? I mean, this is not a child that you've had for a while who you had with somebody else. This is a baby that hasn't even been delivered yet. So, but I would say there's no reason you can't go out on a couple of dates and have some fun. But yes, what about if they ask, oh, you want some champagne? And you're like, no. And then they say, oh, you don't drink. What are you going to say at that point? So I think just figure out what you're going to say. I think some men out there might be upset if you're like, oh, I'm pregnant, and so why are you going out with me then? Why am I taking you out? Like, you've got something going on, obviously.
Yeah, it's tricky what people's reception would be to that, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't really know.
Yeah, and I feel like you shouldn't take it personally, like disheartening or things like that, because you're choosing to have a baby, which is awesome, and you're choosing to keep the baby. I mean, you're saying, I think I want to keep it. I feel like that means you want to. And I don't feel like dating anyone should determine whether, you know, you should keep your baby if you want to, not because anyone else goes, oh, I would date you, but you've got a baby coming. I feel like you will find the perfect partner if you tell the truth and if all of you're just open and honest, and it'll just come naturally. I think I know a few people who were pregnant and then they got together and now they're together with another child. So it can happen. It does happen.
It can. Wasn't Heidi Klum in that situation? She was pregnant with somebody's child, and then she got with Seal. She and Seal got together.
Oh,
and right. Then I think he raised that daughter as his own. So it can happen. I think that, you know, oftentimes that stuff can happen just organically. Maybe the sort of going out on the dating scene, you know, might be pushing it a little bit. But again, if you're just going to go out for a few casual dates, just going to go out for a nice meal, not taking it too seriously, I think that's totally fine. But if you start seeing somebody on a regular basis, you have to tell them. And yeah, the sooner the better. I mean, by date two, if you're on a date two with somebody, I think, you know, it definitely by date three. If there's a date three, you have to let him know.
And also, Georgia, if there's anything to go by, your hormones will be raging and you probably won't even be the person that you think you're being, because you're probably being extreme, tired, and there'll probably be a part of you that's not you. So really, you're probably dating people not being your 100% self if, like me, your hormones are crazy.
Exactly. And you know, I was going to say to you, don't worry, you'll have plenty of time to date after the baby's born. Then I realized that's not true.
That's not true at all. You're never leaving the house, apparently. No.
So get it in while you can. Get it where you fit it.
Literally have 3 months. Do it now.
Do it now. Go wild, girl. No, don't worry. When your kid's 16, you'll be back out again.
New life. Lease of life. Hopefully. Unless they live with you till they're 30, which some people do. Some people live with their parents.
Then you're in trouble, but that's okay. You'll be, you know, what, like 60-something? Maybe a little younger, still dating. No, we're totally kidding. We're totally kidding. It all happens when it's supposed to happen. I say keep your options open. Be ready for love. You know, stay optimistic and it's going to happen organically. But, you know, at a certain point, you are going to start showing and it's going to be kind of obvious to people. So it seems like you've only got a couple of months to, you know, go on some of these dates. So why not go out and enjoy yourself? Just obviously be safe, be careful. And good luck with that. Look after yourself.
And also, you're going to have so much love coming. So don't stress to find love right now if it's not immediate.
And you just got out of a relationship too, and you probably have to, you know, I wonder, are you doing the dating thing because your ex is dating and you feel like you need to get out there to shake your mind free of him? Or are you doing it because you really want to do it? But as Georgie said, I think you're going to get to a certain point where you might not even feel maybe experiencing a little morning sickness and various different things. So you might only want to be around those people that you're very, very comfortable with and who understand what situation you're dealing with. But good luck. Good luck. You'll find love, Georgia. Don't you worry. Let us know.
Thank you for listening to Loose Lips with Shari Carpenter. It's me, Georgie Porter. This bonus episode on Friday is extra lippy. We'll be back on Tuesday next week. Subscribe or follow, rate and review. And we want to hear from you. looselips@createproductions.com.
But we are on Instagram at the Loose Lips Podcast, okay, and at the Missy Porter, at Sharon Carpenter as well. And we're on WhatsApp, so send us your messages and voice notes to 07599 927537, starting with the word lips, okay? We'll see you then.
See you then.